The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning, Andy Brownell, along with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results on News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. We're at the weekend again. That's always good.
I know. I'm kind of excited. I'm going to go to Gold Rush Days in Orinoco today. I haven't been there for years. And not that I need to collect anybody's junk, because I don't. But it's always
treasure, Robin.
Oh, treasure. I'm sorry. Treasure. But it's just that my daughter lives there now. And so, you know, her friends are coming. And I thought, oh, that sounds fun. I'll go.
You know, I've been there. It's same with me. It's been a few years. But, God darn it, I always buy something.
Uh-huh. Things that you just do not need, but you think you do. Oh, well, you're helping the next guy out. Whatever.
Yeah. And then, never mind. I could go on and on.
Just one more thing for our kids to just be so grateful for. Oh, boy.
Yeah, everything I bought, no, none of it's on their list of things they want. Let's put it that way.
Gotta love it.
All right. Well, speaking, of course, about real estate, because that's why we are here. I know, Robin, you have, you know, especially locally, we have seen continual increases in the values of homes. Maybe not as rapid as it was a few years ago, thankfully, in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen some signs as I'm driving around town on top of, you know, certain realtors that say price reduction.
Yeah.
Maybe mm-hmm. can you explain what's going on?
Yeah. So it's really simple. Honestly, people, I heard this. I think this is hilarious. Buyers think it's still 2009. And sellers think it's still 2021. So sellers want to price their house at the high end, and buyers want to come and make these low offers, right? So I'm going to say this loud and clear. When a house is priced correctly at market value, it is still selling for 100% of that list price, okay? Now, when people say, oh, can't we just try to go $50,000 higher? I know you think my house is only worth $300,000, but I really want $350,000. And you know what I say then? And I really want to be a size zero, but I think we're both out of luck. Now, the bottom line is you're going to get what you're going to get. So the truth is it's always been important to price your house right. Not as important during the crazy, you know, fury of the pandemic. But in most of my 25 years in the business, it has always been important. I don't think it's ever been more important than it is right now, because there are already people that are reluctant to start shopping for a house. They already think they're paying too high of interest rates. They think that they have this preconceived notion that the market is flooded with inventory, which by no means is it. If you compare what we have for sale versus our pre-pandemic days, we are still very short on inventory.
Yeah. What is it, like 2 months worth?
Yes, exactly. So bottom line is that what happens is sometimes sellers just, I don't know if they talk their realtors into overpricing the house. I know I've heard realtors say, well, I really wanted to get the listing, so I let them, oh my gosh, no, thank you. I don't want the listing if we're not going to put it on the market at the right price. I mean, I really don't. I am not in the business of listing houses. I am not wanting to collect listings. I am not wanting to take on the stress of 30 sellers who haven't sold their properties because we overpriced it. What I would much prefer to do is just be real and say, this is what the data shows. Now, I'm not pulling a number out of the sky. I'm not giving you my personal opinion. I use data to come up with that number, the same data that an appraiser uses when they come to appraise the property for the bank. And again, guys, this is so key, because let's just say you overprice your house. Let's just say the buyer comes in from California and they say, whoa, this is a great deal. Let's give them full price. Let's just say the realtor that's representing that buyer either doesn't know better or, shame on them, writes the offer. And now all of a sudden, everybody's happy. The seller's happy. They got way more than I told them they were going to. And the buyer's happy. They think they got a great house for the price because they don't know the prices in our market. But then comes the appraiser. Right. And so the appraiser comes along and says, now I'm going to use the data and I'm going to use the comps of other houses that have sold. This is not just about what someone's willing to pay or wants to give. It's about the bank taking the risk that that buyer may not pay that house off. And then the bank gets stuck because that house is the collateral, right?
Right.
And so they don't want to own the house for more than they could put it on the market and sell it for. So the appraiser is going to come out and he's going to use all the comps that I'm going to use when I come and tell you the price of your house. So again, it might not be what you are hoping for. It might not be what you want to hear, but I can promise you I'm always going to deliver the truth. Okay.
You almost sounded like that Rolling Stones song there for a second.
Yeah.
You can't always get what you want.
Oh, I have to tell you a funny story about that. that song was on the radio and Jenna was about 3 years old and she was listening intently. She goes, that's not true, Mom. You do. You do. And of course, my husband thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Anyway, so bottom line is it is important, so important to price the house right. Right. I mean, my goal is to get you the absolute top dollar for your house. I'm not going to come in with a lower than market value price so that I can make a quick sale. Because guess what? If you have it priced at market value, you're going to make a quick sale. I had some buyers come in from Madison this week. They came on Wednesday with the intent to look at houses on Wednesday and Thursday. And we had 3 to look at one day and 4 to look at the other. Well, we scheduled them the day before they came. By the time they came, 2 of them were canceled because they had accepted offers. So now we were down to 5. And then we decided, well, heck, let's just put these all on one day. Before we got to them all, another one canceled because they accepted an offer. So now we were down to 4. Then they narrowed it down to 2 that they really liked. And by the time that they got back to their hotel, I had heard from both realtors, we have offers coming in on these properties. Let us know if you're going to write. So guess what? All those agents did a great job of getting those houses on the market and pricing them right. So they still move when they're priced right. If they're sitting and sitting and sitting, there's either something, and I don't like to say something wrong with your house, but there's something deterring people. Okay.
Sure.
Like maybe you live up a really steep hill and it scares people. Or maybe the house needs a paint job and they don't want to take on the $7,000, you know, whatever. But there's something scaring people away. So sometimes even when they're priced right, they don't sell quickly. But I will tell you that if you're going to overprice, you are going to sit with that house. And I tell people it's so dangerous because if you overprice and nobody comes to look and nobody comes to look and nobody comes to look, now all of a sudden everything is selling on average in 31 days and we're at 60 days and we have only had one showing or we haven't had any showings. Well, guess what? That is like writing on the wall that it's too priced, too overpriced.
Okay. We need to take a break. But when we get back, what I want to ask you about is how do you have that conversation with that person who's in that position now?
Sounds great.
Okay. We will be right back with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results at News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 to Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results on Saturday morning at News Talk 1340 KROC AM 96.9 FM. And we've been talking about what happens if you list your home higher than what its value is, right?
That you're, right, the dangers. You're the dangers.
Pushing for the big paycheck.
Yep.
And then it backfires. That's got to be a really difficult conversation to have. I mean, it's like, I told you so? Or how do you handle that?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, you can try it, but no. So what I like to do is I like to keep the communication open. All right. So if I list your house, Andy, and I tell you, Andy, I feel really confident your house is worth $450. And you say, Robin, I know, but I know about this neighborhood and I just know how much people are going to love to live here. So I really want to go to $475. Well, ultimately, you get to make that decision, but I'm never going to say, oh, you're right. I think $475 is great. Instead, I'm going to say, Andy, you're taking a risk and we may not see much for showing. So let's watch this really closely. Let's take a look. Right now, this is our competition. This house over here, this house over here, this house over here. So let's check in next week and let's see what's happened to those three houses versus where we're at. And then when I call you in a week and say, well, two of those are under contract and we've had one showing, is it starting to sink in that we're probably a little overpriced? And you're a pretty smart guy. So you're going to probably say, okay, Robin, I get it. Let's not let time get by. Let's not become distressed merchandise. So I guess to answer your question, I have that conversation with data. Okay. I think it's just easier. The same way I come in to list the price, I think it's easier to keep people, hey, have you noticed another one went on the market just four doors down from you? They came on $25,000 less. Don't be surprised if they get an offer before you do. Or sometimes it's, oh my gosh, the neighbor thinks they're worth $550. So this is making us look real good. This could help us. But it's just keeping in communication and letting that seller know this is what's happening around you, and time is super important. So if we are going to start knowing we're on the high side, let's start realistically knowing what our plan is to reduce the price or to motivate buyers. Have a plan in the beginning.
How long do you wait?
Well, I say, first of all, I don't like to do price reductions.
Right.
Because that just is like me saying we overpriced it. So I don't want to do it before we're 30 days on the market, but I also don't want to wait 30 days on the market and drop it by $2,000. Cause you know what?
Yeah.
That's like throwing a deck chair off the Queen Mary. You're not going to really miss it. Right. So I want to do a substantial price reduction. And what that means is let's go to the price I recommended in the first place after 30 days if we don't have it sold.
Yeah.
So that's usually my plan.
Now, before we took the break, you were talking about those homes that may be valued right, but there's circumstances like the steep hill or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, when you value, do you ever factor that in when you look at, you know?
I do. And let me tell you, that is the hardest, hardest thing to educate a seller about, because they bought that house because it was on the top of the hill and they love the view from up there. So to try to explain to them, and I am making this all up, you know that, but I'm not talking about any of my clients.
Sure.
But
hypotheticals.
But if you try to explain to the guy who bought at the top of the hill because he wanted to sit at the top of the hill and he wanted the view of the entire valley, that people are going to see that hill as a negative, it's really tough. It's tough to sell that because every one of us are different. So yep. What happens is when we see it in the feedback 3, 4, 5 times, oh, my people love the house, but that hill scared them. Oh, they love the house, but they're afraid of driving down that hill in the winter. Then I say, see, this wasn't just my opinion. This is a fact. And then they'll say, okay, well, we love living on the, I know you do, but now you're leaving. And if we want to attract somebody else to live at the top of the hill, we better reduce the price a little bit and motivate them. I always use an example, and you probably don't go in TJ Maxx very much, but I'm a regular. And when
I know
you walk,
somebody who does.
Yeah, do you? Okay. When you walk in the door, right to the right are the handbags. Big selection, lots of designer names. bright colors, different shapes, always really cute ones. They have a really great selection of handbags. I do not need one, okay? I use the same little tiny one every day. I have a closet full of them. I don't need one. But I'll walk in and something will catch my eye and I'll say, ooh, that is cute. And I'll look at it and it'll say $199. I'm like, eh, I don't need it. Put it back. Okay. Next time I come in, I see one and I don't need it any more this week than I did last week. But a different one catches my eye and I pick it up and I look at it and I'm like, what? $39. I got to have this. And in the cart it goes. So I was completely motivated by price, right? Sure. I did not need that purse any more than I needed the one I passed up last week. So price does play a part. And I'm definitely not saying that you price your house so that nobody can say no to it, because then we would be leaving money on the table. But we do want to price it where we're going to get attention, and especially if we're working with a roadblock.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, sell it below what it's worth. Does that ever work, though? I mean,
it does sometimes. Yeah, it does.
And especially then you get the multiple offers, perhaps?
I have. I've already had a house that I had on the market for six painful months. Every Tuesday, a call with the sellers, sometimes with nothing to say other than, I can't explain it. I don't know why your house is sold. I feel terrible. The feedback has been that it's beautiful, that it shows well, but yet we do not have an offer. You know, we put the house on the market in November, so the first 3 months were November, December, January. I'm sure that played a part. You know, now we're in February. So you just, again, bring the data to the table and talk it through. So finally, when we were just about to expire at 6 months, I said, you guys, I think we just have to do a drastic reduction. So we reduced it by $25,000. And guess what? We didn't get one offer. We didn't get two offers. We got three offers. And one of them went $25,000 over, right?
Really?
The price was right before we reduced it. So
it goes back to your TJ Maxx.
Price motivates. Price motivates. It really, truly does. So it's important to price the house right. And again, I am not saying I want to underprice your house. I do not want to leave money on the table. I just don't want to set up some notion that you're going to get more than it's worth and then have it turn into disappointment.
Yeah.
Because your stress becomes my stress.
Yeah. And ultimately, it's worth what somebody else is willing to pay for it.
And what the appraiser says it's worth. So just because someone's willing to pay for it doesn't mean it's going to fly. And nothing worse than having the deal fall apart at the end because some educated buyer decided to pay what you were asking when we were clearly overpriced. And now, we just got the appraisal and it appraised $25,000 less than what. Well, and that's not how that works.
Yeah, unless it's cash.
Unless it's cash.
Okay. Well, we do have to take another break already. We are with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, Remax Results, and we will be right back on News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.com. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, Remax Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back Saturday with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, Remax Results on News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Robin, we were talking about how sometimes the transaction or offer is made in such a way to, I don't know how to say this. You lower the amount of the loan part by having do you know what I'm trying to get at?
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about seller's concessions. We were talking about.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So prior to last year, August, when there was this big lawsuit, it was always just in stone that the seller paid the commission for both the buyer's agent and the listing agent. That's just the way it was. It was predetermined amount. It was listed in the MLS. The lawsuit said that that number has to be negotiable. Well, it was negotiable. They negotiated it and agreed upon it before we put it in the MLS. But anyway, long story short, the lawsuit came into effect. The changes were that we could no longer predetermine that the seller was going to pay for the commission for the buyer's agent. So the buyer might have to pay their own agent. The buyer's under contract with their agent for how much they're going to pay. Again, negotiable. They negotiated it before they started looking at houses. And then if the buyer's agent is able to get the seller to pay for that, then that is just less money than the buyer is going to have to bring to the table.
Right.
If they cannot, then sometimes what the buyer will do is pay over the ask and say, okay, now will you pay the commission? Because now basically I'm borrowing it because I don't have it. And, or they'll do the same thing with closing costs. So let's say I have a house listed for $310,000. This time it's actually not hypothetical. This really happened. Okay. So $310,000 and the seller was priced right, priced to sell, and said, I am not going to take less than full price because I wanted to list more, but you talked me into this. I said, okay. So we get an offer right away and the buyer's agent came in with full price and said, I'd like the seller to pay 3% commission. So now, 3% closing costs, 3% closing costs. So now what's happening is the seller isn't really getting a full price offer. They're getting a 97% offer because, you know, they're asked to pay 3% towards the buyer's closing costs. So he said, nope, I won't do it because that is not a full price offer. And I said, you're absolutely right. So what we could do is we could add it to the top, change the offer to $320,000, and you will pay $10,000 towards the buyer's closing costs. He said, I will absolutely not spend
even
one
though
penny
it's the same amount for, of money.
Yeah. I said, why? He goes, I've never believed in the seller paying the closing costs for the buyer, and I'm not going to start now. And what I try to educate my sellers, and clearly I was having a tougher time with this guy, it finally went through and we got it all done. But what I try to educate my sellers is there's one number that should matter to you, and that's the net to you. What are you going to get at the end of the day? So I just had another listing where I got into multiple offers. So we had three offers. The one that they selected was the lowest of the three offers, but they said, we're going to pay our agent. We don't want you to pay any commission towards our agent. The other two offers said, we want you to pay the commission to our agent. So it was all about just doing the net sheets and seeing what the bottom line was. So that I thought, this is crazy. So now we've actually sold the house for a few thousand dollars less than our asking price. We turned away full price offers and even one that was a little more than full price. And now it looks like A, was the house overpriced, or the appraiser uses that value. So when that house becomes a comp for the next sale, because there's nowhere that the appraiser knows, were their closing costs paid? Was their commission paid?
That's what,
you know,
I was
none of that.
About. Mm-hmm. The comps would be.
Yeah. It could be really screwy.
And the same thing with the other one too, because it would be over.
Right. So if anybody is curious how often the seller is paying the commission on the buyer's behalf, because people ask me that question a lot. I know that the state of Minnesota did a study, and in the first year of the change, 99% of commissions were being paid by the seller to both sides of the transaction. The only major difference is the way you write it in the contract, and that it's not, you know, set in stone at a certain amount. It's not predetermined. So line 406 of the purchase agreement, you ask the seller to pay X number on behalf of the buyer's agent. And guess what? If the bottom line works out to where the seller is happy, they're going to do it. But if you come in and if an agent writes a lowball offer and then says, oh, and by the way, never mind the fact that we want to pay you $20,000 less than you're asking, even though Robin did a great job of pricing it, we now also want you to pay our agent's commission. Well, you know what? It doesn't work that way. So when agents call me and say, hey, Robin, is your seller willing to pay my commission on behalf of the buyer? I say, write us a good offer. And if the seller likes the bottom line, they're going to pay it.
Sure.
It's all about what the seller gets at the end of the day.
The bottom line is the bottom line.
The bottom line is the bottom line.
Makes perfect sense. Well, Robin, we've talked a lot of stuff today, some of it pretty complex. If somebody wants to talk to you about any of these, you know, pricing a home right, how to deal with these closing cost questions, whatever it may be, how do they get a hold of you?
Please. I love to have these conversations. As you can probably guess, this is my passion, and I feel like I'm pretty darn knowledgeable at this too. So feel free to call me on my cell phone anytime, and that number is 507-259-4926, and I mean this when I say it. I look forward to your calls.
Awesome. Robin, I look forward to talking to you again next Saturday. You have a great rest of the weekend.
All right. See if I can find some treasures.
Okay. Good luck. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM at 96.